and speak with a lady, if she will. That night, the enemy found themselves penned by the Forest Teig, which would not let them pass, while a line of elven knights swept the valley from side to side. Elf light lay over them, leaving no place to hide. The three marshals and Pox rode with them, hunting the priests of Liart. By dawn, which added a golden glow to the radiance around, Pox had killed two more of them. The marshals each had killed one, and the elves found one dead of wounds. A score of gibbas lay dead, and more than 100 orcs and a score of folokai. The Parganese cohort stood in a sullen lump at the far end of the valley, where trees closed off the escape. The Barakaian had broken into several groups, all now under guard. The Conhalt archers, having lost more than half their number, huddled together not far from the king's company. As for the followers of Liart, they had fled pell-mell, and most had been ridden down in the last of the fighting. Pox rode back toward the king's company, through the blended light of dawn and elven power, still musing over the lady's arrival. She joined the marshals in praying healing for the wounded. When the last one lay resting quietly, she felt a presence and turned. Behind her stood the lady, now watching Pox as closely as she had watched the king before.
"Paladin of Gerd, I would speak with you. Come."
Pox followed her a little way from the line of wounded. New grass carpeted the ground. Every blade seemed to glow with its own light. The lady led her near the stream, now edged with starry yellow flowers. Here the lady spread her cloak on the bank and gestured to Pox to sit with her. Gingerly Pox folded her legs and sat. For a moment, as it seemed, they listened to the singing water now released from winter.
"We did not come for battle," said the lady finally. "I wished to meet Falkyri myself first, before he came to Chea."
"I remember," said Pox.
"I do not mean to injure your honor when I say that it seemed better to attend to that myself. We had heard you were taken, that you had asked a Quokkan to rouse the Teig in his behalf."
Her gaze sharpened a moment.
"If it is a matter of the Teigen, Poxenarian, it is a matter for elves."
Pox shook her head. "I am sorry, lady. I only knew it must be a ware for him, and the Quokgani came to mind."
"We forgive you. After all, you were healed by one. We knew you meant no insult, but even so, it seemed wise to us to come and greet him. It is true that we knew he might find trouble, but it has been so long since I traveled in these lands that I did not know how bad it was. The tree grieves, paladin, to harbor such in its shade, and the singer is mute."
For a moment she was silent, running her hands over the grass as a man might fondle his dog.
"Yet the singer and the tree joined together in praise, and we came when the time was accomplished. I am well pleased, Poxenarian, with my daughter's son. You spoke truly when you said he would be a worthy king."
Pox said nothing, reft of argument. She could do nothing but stare at the lady.
"And I am well pleased with Gerd's paladin," she went on. "We have heard how you entered captivity for the king in Varela. We grieved, thinking you surely doomed, and yet you are here, defending him still. Will you tell that tale, paladin of Gerd, that it may be sung rightly in our